To confess that Christ is Lord. This is never said apart from the Spirit. Because you see, as we human beings have issues, we don't know this, we don't experience this apart from God revealing something to us. Have you ever heard the phrase, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain? If you've ever seen The Wizard of Oz, you've heard that one. The wizard himself, to the friends gathered in the throne room of the Emerald City, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, right? Well, we've got a curtain here this morning, and I'm not letting any of you come up to see what's behind it yet, or who's behind it. How would you know if there's really someone there or not, just sitting where you are? Any ideas? What's that?
If you heard something.
Right. Maybe there'd be a sound back there. What else?
How about a reflection off of the communion cup?
Oh, there you go. Hey. I was wondering if someone was going to notice that. Okay. So, all right. Thanks, Henry. Okay. Those are good ideas. Maybe some of you more technological types might go for an infrared scan. You could see like maybe the outline of a warm body back there. And see, maybe you look around the sanctuary here and you're like, wait a minute, who's not here that's supposed to be here? Did someone go up during the prayer? Did you hear any noise, right? Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. See, really, I think in the end, to know if there's really someone back there, I have to take down the screen. That's probably the most straightforward way. The fact is, you'd have to have it just revealed to you. Just, okay, show me. You know, tell me who's behind the curtain. Not yet. Pastor Dan's got a little game to play yet. Because, see, this whole curtain issue is rather like the situation with God. Can we really know God? And how do we know that we're knowing God? And maybe there's something between us and God such that we can't really know him or we can't be sure that we're knowing him. And it gets very complicated. Here's why. Knowing God gets complicated because we live in a world where there are many religions on offer. And many different kinds of gods, many different gods with different kinds of character. Some that are merely about justice, others that are about love, others that are about being manipulated, so that if you offer the right things on the right days or the right times, you can get what you want. That's one of those curtains between us and God in the real world. And there are other issues, too, because we might say, read the Bible. And perhaps, if we're not a person of faith, we might not be too impressed. We just note that there's a lot of violence and there's all this sacrificial stuff, and we don't get it. There's a curtain between us and God. Or perhaps we read the world. We look at the world and we say, you know what? There's refugees by the hundreds of thousands. There's cancer everywhere. The worst food shortage in Africa is slowly developing right now, the last 30 years. And we hardly hear about it, do we? Any of you even know about that? I barely do. Famine's coming there. And we look at this world and we say, you know what? God just seems too absent. How can we really know if there is a God, let alone what kind of God that is? You see, there's a curtain between us and the truth, isn't there? Or there's this little issue of the human condition, where there's something amiss, there's something distressed, something wrong about each of us that somehow is a barrier to knowing God. The fact is, to actually know the truth behind all these curtains in the world, we actually need God to do something. We need God to reveal himself to us. We can't get there by thinking it out. Not really. God has to show us himself, and he has to show us ourselves for that to make any sense. What we need is something called revelation. Not these big scary dreams with dragons and stuff. They're in the last book called Revelation in the Bible. What we need is God to reveal himself. So here it is from Romans, the letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 1, and then a little bit and then I'll follow up with a little bit from Romans chapter 3. So if you'd like to follow along in English, Romans chapter 1, I'll read verses 17 through 20. And that's on page 1747 and the Bible's out there. Page 1747, Romans chapter 1. So there, starting at verse 17 toward the bottom of page 1747. Listen for what has to be revealed. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood by what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Let's jump ahead to chapter 3 for a little bit more about what needs to be revealed. Chapter 3, verse 21 through 24. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It's God's word to us today. So much has to be revealed. When there are so many curtains between us and the truth about ourselves and the truth about God. The way that these verses in Romans tell it, there are some things that are revealed about the human condition. There's this one in chapter 3, verse 23, which is that all have sinned. All have sinned, okay, and have fallen short of the glory of God. I think this has to be revealed to us because mostly we don't understand that. We don't understand that every person, no matter how good we assume that they are or how good they appear to be, still falls short of the glory of God. Every human being as a sinner doesn't really measure up to God's expectations for who we ought to be and who in his power we could have been. We all fall short. But we get this idea in our head that somehow humanity divides into good enough and bad enough. Well, if you're good enough, you go to heaven, or other good things happen to you. And if you're bad enough, well, you go to the other place. You go to hell, and that's it. It's clear cut. And we think that we can actually figure this out, who falls on which side or what other side. And we think that we are in a position to judge who is good enough and who isn't. And we think that the universe runs this way. The scripture says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. There's not one who's good enough, not really. But we get confused about this. I was talking to a funeral director within the last few months, and I get to ride in the hearse, and I say get to because it's actually a strange kind of privilege. I know maybe that's a little creepy to some of you, like, oh, the pastor likes riding in the hearse. That's kind of weird. You know what? It's all right. Because I get to ask all kinds of interesting questions of funeral directors about behind-the-scenes stuff. I've learned about embalming, actually, and some other things that, you know, probably are not Sunday sermon topics exactly, but nevertheless, it's been fascinating to me. But I asked one of the funeral directors, I said, you know, what's some of the weirdest stuff that you've ever run into as far as how people handle death, the reality of death? He said, yeah, I had a real weird one. There was a lady who stood at the graveside by her husband's coffin, and she said, my husband was a very good man, and if he's not good enough to go to heaven, I don't want to be there either. Whoa. Sure about that? But you see, I think she was deceived on a lot of levels. But first of all, the idea that human beings' standards are the way that the universe is judged, or the way that human beings are judged. And when we determine someone's good enough, that's good enough for God? That's not what Romans says. What Romans reveals, it says it's not your standard of goodness that matters. That's not how you're evaluated. How you're evaluated is God's standard. And what God says is that all of us, every last one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. Every last one of us is a sinner. We are not good enough, and there is no way we can be. That's why it has to be revealed, because it's hard to hear. Maybe it's even harder to believe that. We want to believe we're good enough. We could live life without realizing it, but we all fall short. In sum, this is what we would call our sinful condition. There's something broken in us that makes us want to believe deceptions about salvation, deceptions about how we get in with God. But we're wrong, because this sin has blinded us to critical pieces of God knowledge. That's why we need God to reveal himself to us. Apart from God's action, we don't even know. And then we're in trouble. Check out this canyon road on the way to Zion National Park. It's clear enough in the daytime, but you can kind of see it snakes around, sort of cliff edge there. Now imagine that you're driving it during the day, and your driver, or you yourself, you just decide to close your eyes. Madness, right? That's insanity. You're just going to go right off the cliff. And probably once in a while, people actually do. How much more so then, if you want to go through life with your eyes closed to what God has revealed in his word? Life is not a straight path. It's full of dangers. You sure you want to drive it with your eyes closed? Let alone your spiritual eyes? You want them closed to what God tells you about yourself and about him? You're going to need a revelation to get through that. You're going to need to have your eyes opened. Well, what else is revealed here in Romans? Chapter 1, verse 18 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed." The wrath of God. Well, this isn't simply angry. It's not simply that God intends to hit the smite button on everybody that he intends to hit it on. This is God saying, you know what? The current situation is untenable. This is not okay with me. The wrath of God says, this is wrong. This isn't what I meant to be, and I'm not going to tolerate it. That's justice. That's what the wrath of God is. It's being revealed. Because not seeing God is a problem. When all of humanity has fallen short and all of humanity has closed its eyes to the things of God, well, that's a deadly dangerous problem. That's deadly serious. You could run right off the cliff. And plenty of people do. And plenty of us in the room have. Have we not? So we live in a world full of the blind leading the blind on spiritual matters. And because so many of the world are blind, it seems like when we get together and we all get blind together, we actually know what we're talking about. We can sense the truth of one religion or another, and it seems like we're right. Yet then we've got this, something revealed, something that tells us things that we wouldn't otherwise know. And God has already revealed himself in the world, hasn't he? Romans, after saying the wrath of God is being revealed, because guess what? You should already know about God. You should at least know that he exists. You should at least know that he's got eternal power and a divine nature. Well, how would we know that? Eternal power? Here's a depiction of our Milky Way galaxy. A little arrow, sort of a you are here. Oh, you know, a few billion stars. And all those little dots behind it that are not part of the main area, those are other galaxies, right? And there's something funny about this universe, and this is one of the reasons I really geek out on cosmology stuff. So we talk about stars and galaxies and vast distances. I love this stuff because I'm amazed. I'm amazed that in this universe, it seems very much too perfect for us to even be here, to exist. Because the fact is that if the force of gravity varies by an infinitesimal part, just a tiny, tiny, tiny part, we wouldn't be here because matter wouldn't stick together. Gravity wouldn't hold it together. If it were just a little bit stronger, everything would collapse into a giant black hole, but it doesn't. Or if the strong nuclear force, for those of you who've been through chemistry or physics, that's the force that binds those protons and neutrons together in the atoms, if that were just a little bit different, you wouldn't be able to form carbon atoms. And as you may know, carbon is the basis of all life as we know it. Well, what do I mean, just a little bit different? It's on the order, these differences that I'm talking about, if things were a little bit different, physical forces, basic things in the universe, of 1 in 10 to the 37th power different. It sounds big. Okay, that's 1 followed by 37 zeros. It's way bigger than the biggest number you can imagine, which is probably like the federal debt or something, right? Huge number. That it's dwarfed by 1 in 10 to the 37th, all right? There's a cosmologist named Hugh Ross, and he looks at this and he says, okay, here's what 1 out of 10 to the 37th is like. if the universe were different in any one of these things, and there's a whole list of them, there's a whole bunch more, by anything greater than 1 in the 10 to the 37th power, it would be like covering the entire continent of North America with dimes, so little 10-cent pieces, cover the entire continent, and then stack them to the moon. And then do it again a billion times with a billion other continents. And then you take your buddy, and you're like, hey, I'm going to blindfold you, and I'm going to paint one of those dimes red out of the dimes from here to the moon on a billion North American continents. And when you're blindfolded, I want you to pick the red dime. That's 1 in 10 to the 37th. God's eternal power. This universe is way too perfect for you to be sitting here this morning. The Creator has to exist. It's preposterous to suggest that there's no Creator. And it's preposterous to study all this and to then reason that there's no Creator. See, that's something that science can't do. It overreaches when it does that. But I still love science because I say it shows me the Creator, His eternal power. And His divine nature, says Romans, it's revealed that it couldn't just be any being. It couldn't be a superhuman that put this together. It couldn't be some sort of super computer, say, one that we make or build. No. Well, why not? Let's go to the other end of the scale, not the large, but the very small. This thing that you can't read at all on the screen. Okay, I know. That's on purpose because I had to fit it in. This is a map of cell metabolism. So all these billions of cells you got in your body are all doing this right now. And in fact, when I say this is cell metabolism, this isn't really even a significant, I mean, it's significant, but it's not really most of what your cells are even doing right now. They're signaling, they're taking in chemicals, they're putting out chemicals, they're transcribing your RNA, they're making more, they're dividing. This stuff, in fact, isn't even all of metabolism. All this stuff I've crammed on the screen is just the bare essentials of cell metabolism. When we look at this world and look at how fearfully and wonderfully we are made, we got to know, you know what? There is a God. There is someone who did this. Wow. God's divine nature is clearly seen. It's revealed to us, and yet, somehow, we've closed our eyes to God. Romans says that people are without excuse. Listen, you can look at this. You can see it. You can know at least that God exists. And yet, because of the deep wrongness in human beings and in each one of us here this morning, we have a thing called sin. And it drives us away from what we should know, what we should know deep down, not just up in our heads, but what our whole life should be governed by. Sin deceives us. It puts up curtains between us and God so that we can't know the truth about ourselves and we can't know the truth about God. So now what? How are you going to know God? Well, you need God's Spirit. You need God's intervention. You need some revealing. You need the eyes of your heart opened. That's why we sing that song. Because you're not going to get it just from me standing up here and talking. If anything's being revealed to you this morning, you have to understand it's not me. It's the Spirit of God. Listen well. What else is revealed? Verse 17 of chapter 1, a righteousness from God is revealed. That despite the situation as it stands, despite that human beings have no excuse, despite that they are lost and have closed their eyes to God, what does God do? He reveals His righteousness to us. He reaches out for us. And really, we need that to be shown to us. We need that revealed because there's nothing in our human reason, there's nothing in the way that we would understand a broken universe that says God would even have to do that for us. That doesn't make any sense. If it's our own fault that we've rejected God, and if it's our own fault that we continually close our eyes to God and don't really want to learn about Him, then why should God take you, lost as you are, and find you? Why should He take you, eyes closed as they are, and open them? Why should He take you, twisted by wrongness, and offer you a perfect rightness? That doesn't make sense. Certainly God doesn't need to do that. Certainly He doesn't have to do that. So then, what kind of God is it that's revealed in this Bible here? This is a gracious God. He's not satisfied simply with doing what justice calls for. He's not satisfied simply with what He ought to do. He does something bigger, something better, something gracious. He does things for people that we simply don't deserve. We don't deserve to have the curtains lifted on our hearts, on our eyes, between us and him, and yet he does it. What we deserved is to be left in our sin. And yet he comes to us and says, I'm going to reveal my righteousness to you. And here it is, chapter 3, verse 24, Jesus. That in him you can be saved from your ignorance, from your willful choices, from your lostness. You can have the eyes of your heart opened. You can see God and you can know him despite everything that's happened up to the point of knowing Christ. That has to be revealed. We can't figure that out. We can't reason it has to happen that way. But God did it because he's a gracious God. Because, in fact, he loves you that much. He should have let us go. Should have let us suffer the shame of having rejected our Creator. And yet he could not. He did not. Because he loves. He brought you back from deception. So listen. If this is what God reveals in 7 verses, don't you want to know more? That's the starting point for everything that we ought to know about God. Why not learn more? Why not have more revealed? Well, for some of you, maybe you say, meh, that's okay. I don't need too much more revealed. Well, I'd say you still got the curtain between you and the truth. That's how I see it. How could you not want to know this God more? Well, if you do, how can you do that? Certainly, it's like any relationship. Spend the time. Take the time to spend time with God in prayer with his people as we are this morning, or getting into this book to learn about God, to know God, to see him face to face. We've got a lot of small groups around church, and some of you are highly involved in them, and others of you aren't. If you're not in a small group Bible study, whether here or honestly at any other church, I don't necessarily care where, consider it. God wants to be known. He's lifted up the curtains on life and on truth. He wants to show you himself and show you yourself and all that you can be with your eyes open. You can know God through the law and the prophets, all these parts of the Bible that are back here. You can know God through the New Testament and the stories about Jesus. He's available to you. The curtain is lifted. And I'll even give a specific plug. One of the things I hope to do this year, this calendar year, is start a new Bible study at New Hope Church. And what I want to do is offer it as a multilingual Bible study. That does not mean that you have to speak any other languages other than the one that or two that you speak. But what it does mean is that I want to read this book, this Bible, that reveals God in multiple languages sort of at the same time. What would that look like? It would mean that it's a Bible study, and we can start in English since that's a shared language here, but then I'm going to be asking people who might know other languages, hey, what does your translation say? What does your Bible say? And what does that mean? Does that mean exactly what we have here in the English, or is it a little different? And how can we learn about who God is by understanding these other languages? There's some powerful examples of that I can think of for myself, but we'll get to those in the Bible study. If that's something you're interested in doing with me, come talk to me. I have no idea when it's going to be. I have no idea what exactly it's going to be. I'm looking for people, and some of you I'm going to come find, okay? But some of you, just come and ask, because I'm not going to know that you want it. Multilingual Bible study. But it's all in the service of getting to know God better through his word. And listen, in addition to all those things like prayer and being together and Bible study, if you've caught a glimpse of what God is actually like this morning, something about grace, something about his love for you, I want you to watch carefully, carefully for matching signs, ways that God seems to be moving around you, reaching out to you if you're kind of not sure about these things, ways that he's reaching out to people around you, trying to reveal himself to them, whether that's someone at school, whether that's someone you're working with. And if you see those signs, for goodness sake, pay attention. Because it's not like God just revealed himself in the world and went away. He still reveals himself every day. He wants to be known by people who can't open their eyes to him. And he's trying. And he's working on them. If you are a follower of Jesus now, you need to be paying attention to those things. You can ask that classmate or coworker, you know, it seems like you're struggling with some stuff. You think God's involved at all? Simple question. It's not really threatening. Just ask people to pay attention to God, what he might be doing in them. And I think you will find that he is. Oh, he is. Very much so. You may be able to even see it in your own life. Little connections between what happens to you during the week and what just seems to be randomly preached on a Sunday morning. Or what just seems to happen, or who happens to be there, and why are you here now talking to me about this? It's probably not them, it's probably God. Pay attention. Because God does reveal himself. And if you get a chance, you may even be able to tell how God revealed himself to you. In about another few weeks, I'll be able to share my story from up here. I did about 3.5 years ago. It's time to share it again. Because I'm alive because God showed himself to me. That's the nutshell. That'll be coming in February. Yeah, God shows himself. We need him to reveal himself, and he does. So why not look behind the curtain? I've been teasing you with this thing up here the whole service. Anybody want to look? Nobody wants to look, man. Man, you got nobody wants to come up and look. It's not like I put a mousetrap or terrible things back there. There might even be a person. Nobody wants to look. All right. One person wants to look. So really, we have a sermon about a God revealing himself and yearning for God, and nobody wants to look behind the curtain? Huh. Well, it's weird to come up in front of church and people are watching stuff. Yeah. All right. But, Angela, I'm glad you're willing. So, okay. You want to look? Just look. Well, nothing? There's really nothing. Well, can that be? There's not nothing. What is that? Grab it. What is that? It says the Holy Spirit. What's that attached to it? It's a key. What do you suppose keys are for?
To unlock doors.
Unlock doors or other things? Anybody got something that needs to be opened this morning, say by the key of the Holy Spirit? May as well start looking. There's something in the sanctuary, I would dare say. Pastor Dan does this kind of stuff from once in a while, right? So Angela has the key of the Holy Spirit. Something needs to be unlocked. Something needs to be revealed. Well, you might want to look under your seats. Anybody find something that needs some unlocking? Oh, here we go. Here we go. What do you got there? Okay, so underneath the Perez family is this big orange box, and what's it got on it? It's got a lock. All right. Can somebody bring that up here? I want to make sure that everybody can see it. It's the Perez family box. It was where you guys were seated there. So, all right. Thanks, Ernie. You had no idea this was going to happen to you. I didn't either, you know. Coincidence? Maybe not. All right. So you got the box there, and you got a lock on it. What's the lock say? It says something on there.
Faith.
Lock says faith, the key of the Holy Spirit. Well, you may as well open it, right? Hopefully we have the right key. Right? That'd be real bad if... Okay, there we go. Okay. All right, so take the lock off. Open up the box. What do we got?
The Holy Bible.
You got the Bible. I can stand up here and teach until I'm hoarse about the Bible. I can tell you everything that's revealed in it, but the fact is, to really understand it, you need God to reveal himself to you. You need the Holy Spirit, and you need faith to understand what the Bible's about. That's the point. Hopefully he's done a little bit of his work this morning. Thank you. You can head back to your seats. I can just put that right there. Yeah. Well, looks like God wants you to know him. that's true, if that's really true, the creator of the universe wants to be known by you, you best pay attention. Amen. Pray with me. Lord God, you are hidden to us, but it's not because you want to be hidden. It is because we have closed our eyes to your majesty, to your power, to your existence, to your glory, and ultimately to your deep love for us. That somehow we get to thinking that maybe church is just about church, or we get to thinking that when we got to do these Bible study things, that somehow we got to live up to it, as opposed to we ought to be drawn by the love of a God who is not content to leave us blind or in sin or in shame, but rather reaches down to us and reveals himself to us and wants to be known. Lord, open the eyes of our heart. Make us, in fact, want to see you again for the first time. Reveal yourself to us. Make yourself known for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.